Our service this morning, I'm going to open us up with a scripture. We're starting a new series today called Building My Destiny. So this scripture is from the Passion Translation, and this is what it says. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. God has a destiny for each one of us. Something that his word tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that he prepared in advance. He has a destiny for you and for me, for every person ever born. God has a unique destiny. Just put your finger in the chest of the person next to you and say, you have a destiny. Next slide. God has a destiny for each of us. It is a unique design to maximize our what? To maximize our social status in the world? Is our destiny in Christ been designed so that God would maximize our Facebook for number of friends or our Instagram likes or anything like that? No. That's not our destiny in Christ. We have a destiny in Christ, a unique design to maximize our bank account. Woo! No, sorry. That is not it either. I think God does want to bless us, and we know that he resources us to accomplish all kinds of amazing things in the world, including blessing our own lives and families, but that is not our destiny in Christ. Nor is it, I'm sorry to say, our happiness. No, the joy of the Lord is our strength. But you know what? Our lives are not always happy moment by moment. And truth be told, there are a lot of bumps and bruises and sometimes brokenness on the way. Jesus said it would be like that. Jesus told us that. So, well, our destiny was not his design to maximize our happiness, our social status, or our bank account. Let me cut to the chase and tell you what I believe from God's word is his destiny for each of us in Christ. There's a unique design for each of us that is designed to maximize our fruitfulness. Our fruitfulness. That is our destiny in Christ, is to be fruitful people. In fact, Jesus said this in a chapter where he talked a lot about fruitfulness and the lack thereof. In John chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said this. He said, "This is to my Father's glory that you," say me, me, I, right? "That I would bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." See, Jesus' expectation is that his followers, right? We use that word disciple, just means those ones that are following hard after Jesus, that we would have lives that are very fruitful. And Jesus even chose that word, that adjective, very fruitful. In Greek, it's the word polis, P-O-L-Y-S, that means many, it means great, it means abundant. A lot of fruit. Our destiny in Christ is to be very fruitful. And he has a unique design for each one of us in order to see that fruitfulness released. And guess what? God does not expect us to do things like be very fruitful That's how he glorified God. He expects that of his disciples, to be very fruitful. He does not expect things of us that he has not given us the ability to do. Right? Because he's a good father. So he does not give us things to do and instructions just that would frustrate us. Things that he knows that we can't do. You know, sending off your child to, I don't know, go clean all the streets of Santa Maria before you come home for dinner, right? There's no possible physical way that our child could do that. But see, God does not set the expectations for us in a way of doing something that we could never accomplish. And so when he says that his disciples are to bear much fruit, that's because he has given us the capacity to do that and then has called us to do that. Your destiny in Christ is to live a fruitful life. Very fruitful. Very fruitful. This is the way that Paul, the Apostle Paul, shared this to a church when he wrote to them, and we find it in Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. And he said this, he says, "Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." And why do we pray this? We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Do you see this? That we actually bring God glory, like what we just saw that Jesus said, that this is how we bring God glory, is bearing much fruit in our lives. And Paul repeats that and says the same thing here, that we actually live a life worthy of the Lord by bearing fruit. So guess what? There's a flip side to that, because we can live in a way that is unworthy of the Lord. That's a little tougher to hear. Right? But we've got to acknowledge the reality of that, that when we see this, you can kind of put them in reverse and say, well, there is an unworthy way to follow the Lord, and that's by a barrenness in my life that does not reflect that fruitfulness that would bring him glory. And there's a way that we can live that would not please the Lord. It's not that God loves us less, but there is who wants to say, I am walking and living in such a way that I kind of bring him displeasure rather than pleasing the Lord, where he's like this dad that's just like so excited about, look how my daughter is like living a life that's bearing the very fruit that I created them to bear. Look at this, calling over the angels. Wow. Look at John. Look at how he's living. Look at the decisions that he's making. Look how he's building his life in order to be fruitful, to be fruitful in his life. Man, that's the way I want to live. How about you? I want to live in a way that is worthy of the Lord Jesus, who gave his life for me. And I want to live a life in a way that is pleasing to him. And so I want to be fruitful. And that is my destiny, and it is your destiny. In fact, it's the destiny of people who are even far from him. They just don't know it yet. They just don't know that their destiny in Christ is to have a fruitful, very fruitful life. But listen, but we know. We live life. We experience what I mentioned a moment ago, that life can be filled with bumps, bruises, and brokenness. Jesus said it would be like that. We know that. We come against things in our own body. We live in a broken world. That brokenness will bump up against us. It hurts. There's pain, right? We don't sugarcoat that. we look it square on and say, yeah, I know you're out there pain. We bumped up against each other. I don't want to make you my friend. You're not invited over. But I recognize that sometimes you just show up unannounced anyway. But even though we know that life will have those bumps, bruises, and brokenness, what God's destiny is not for us is barrenness. He did not create us to be barren. And as painful as those bumps, bruises, and brokenness are, it's not nearly as painful as barrenness. And I don't want to minimize this at all, because some people have experienced areas in their life where they just look at and they just say, God, there's no fruit here. I just feel barren in this area of my life. In fact, one of the couples, some leaders in our church, Rico and Tara Lopez, a few Easters ago, I had to share a bit of a story, but I know a lot of you were not here on that occasion, and they gave me permission to kind of share just a recap of something that they've walked through in their life and their story. These are great people. These are community group leaders, former Foursquare pastors. They're just awesome people. But they couldn't have children. And these are like such sweet people. In fact, Tara is a grade school teacher and like teacher extraordinaire. She loves kids, right? Is dedicated her life to serving children. And was not experiencing children of her own. And this went on and this went on. And you know, when that barrenness continues, that pain level of like, God, what is this barrenness about? What am I experiencing? And so as time went on, I mean, it became evident that they were not going to have children. And they were feeling the pain and the brokenness of that to the core. And they shared how they brought that pain to Jesus. And that Jesus did a remarkable thing. Because as he began to talk to them about their fruitful destiny, they came to recognize that God's unique call on them was to live a life different than they had imagined. And they no longer considered this barrenness, but they considered it, they looked at it differently. God gave them a new insight into this part of their life that they had imagined one way, but God gave them a wisdom and insight and understanding beyond what they had had before, and it transformed their lives. It transformed their marriage. Because God showed them that I created you to be fruitful in ways that you did not imagine. And they share about how, like, we began to recognize that God allowed us, God had created us to have a joy in our marriage that was going to be different and unique than we'd planned. So you know what? They have a joy-filled marriage and joy-filled and very fruitful lives. And some of that joy and some of that fruit happens around a lot of Dodger games. Because they don't have kids. They don't have kids that are in school and soccer practice and going here and there and music classes. And you know what? They don't have that. So they get to go and do things that sow into each other's lives in a very different way. And so this weekend, they're in Las Vegas because Bruno Mars was in concert. And so they went, and they're having a fantastic weekend with Bruno. And I love it. It's not what they planned. It's not the destiny that they would have written for themselves, because we don't write in any barrenness into our stories. But can I tell you that when we submit our lives to his plan and his destiny, that he will even take those areas that we thought were barren and actually say, no, I just created you for a different kind of fruit. A different kind of fruit. And it reminds me of the passage, the very familiar passage that we know of in Romans chapter 8, verses 28. that I love. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good. Of everyone? No? 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 Everything doesn't, you know that phrase, you know, everything happens for a reason. That's not what God's word tells us. Sometimes things are just bad. Not everything just happens for a reason. But here's the promise that God causes, that means he is actively at work to cause everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That word purpose is like, it's intent. Guess what that is? My destiny. When I am walking in accordance to his design and saying, God, you have a destiny for me. It is a fruitful destiny. It is not a barren destiny. That God, that even those things that I thought were barrenness, you are changing those equations in order for me to understand there is a fruitful life ahead of me. Very fruitful. Very fruitful. God hates barrenness. He hates it. One of the other things that he says in that chapter, John 15, I switched up the order of these verses, but there it is right there. John 15, the first two verses, Jesus says this. This is God speaking. He says, I'm the true grapevine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts. He's a pruner. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. God hates barrenness, folks. When he sees it, he cuts it. Doesn't belong there. It's not part of my plan. My plan is for there to be fruitfulness in your life, in your family, in our city. Fruitfulness. And guess what? Even if we're bearing some fruit, that doesn't take us off the hook. Because then he goes on and says, and he prunes branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Why? Because he's glorified when we bear much fruit. Many much fruits. Great, abundant. That's how he's created, because our destiny in Christ is to be fruitful. During this series, we're going to be talking about something I want to just kind of draw up here for you. Because I believe that God's destiny for us is kind of like a house. On the back of your little sheet there you got in, there's a place for notes, but you can just doodle on there, okay? Doodle along with me. Our destiny, I believe, is like a house. But this is not a one-story house. And I think a lot of times we kind of picture our structure as mono-floored, but I believe that God has given us a destiny that is maybe most or best represented as a two-story house. There's the door, put some windows on it, okay? But man, he has a second floor that is really, really amazing for us. But I want to talk to you about these two floors. And why I believe that it's important for us to understand this concept of building my destiny. See, a home does not accidentally build itself. You don't just all of a sudden see a dirt lot there and then come back a couple of weeks later and, man, I don't know what happened, but Home Depot exploded and all of a sudden there's a beautiful home that just emerged there. Right, Teddy? It's a lot of work. There's planning that goes in, and when you go to actually doing the construction, when you go to do the building, you do not start with the roof. You do not start with the second floor. You start with the ground floor. And I believe that in our destiny, the reason why it's important to think of our destiny, our lives in this two-story fashion is because we have to build the ground floor first. And I want to give a name to this ground floor. Are you ready? You can go ahead and put it up there. But the ground floor of our life is what I call a rock solid faithfulness. Faithful. Faithful in word and in deed. Next week, we're going to look at a scripture that Paul wrote in a letter to his spiritual son, Timothy, where he said, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save not only yourself, but all those around you as well. All of those who are in the audience of your life, they're going to come to salvation because of you if you watch your life and your doctrine closely and persevere. There's a faithfulness that we are called to that is absolutely essential if we're ever going to get to the second floor. Now, what is the second? If the ground floor represents this rock solid faithfulness, this unswerving passion to say, I am locked onto you, Jesus, and I'm not letting go. You guys have heard me preach on Hebrews 10:23 before. If you've been around for a while, it's my life verse, so it comes up a lot. That says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. We build our lives on the foundation of a faithful God. And because he is faithful, I can be faithful. Because he is faithful, I can build my life on him. He is the rock. So I can build my life on a faithful God, and I can say, God, because you're faithful, and I'm made in your image, and you've given me your Holy Spirit and your power, I also can be faithful. We got to start by building a ground level of rock solid faithfulness. But there is a second story. And it's the one we often kind of think of when I say, well, my destiny, this is who I am in Christ. This is what the second story is. The second story of our life is our prophetic assignment. Our prophetic assignment. When we read through the New Testament, there's a lot spoken of our prophetic assignment. Now, I want to share a scripture in a second about our prophetic assignment, but can I tell you this? Can I tell you that the first floor, this is common to all of us. Okay? This is our shared calling. This is our shared destiny. I'm called to be faithful just like you're called to be faithful. There's no difference whatsoever. We are all called to have that rock solid faithfulness built on the foundation of Jesus. Okay? That's all of us, right? Say, shared destiny. Shared destiny. That's the first floor. Second floor is not a shared destiny. This is where there is something absolutely beautifully unique about who you are and how you are created that is going to maximize that fruitfulness that God is calling forth in your life. And it is unique and it is yours, and no one else has your exact destiny, because you have a prophetic assignment. And while this is common and shared, this is unique to you. This is just for you. In Romans chapter 12, we read just some words about this, and there's many places, and over the weeks, we're going to be taking a look at some other passages, but I wanted to show you what God says about your uniqueness. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, just as each of us has one body with many members, right? hands, feet, arms, heads, all the parts, the bits and bobs. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. God's grace represents his power. To do those things that we couldn't have done on our own, he says, hey, I know who you are, and I know where you're strong. I also know you're weak. And I am giving you my grace to make up for anything in your life that you may be lacking. Any area where you say, man, I can't produce fruit on my own. I can't live this fruitful life on my own. And he says, you know what? In my grace, I'm going to allow you. I'm going to help you to be very fruitful in your life. That's his grace. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Now here, this is not a comprehensive list, but the Apostle Paul is just talking and saying, hey, listen up, folks. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And what we're seeing is that not only do I have a destiny that is common to everyone, to have that rock-solid faithfulness in Jesus, but I also have a prophetic assignment. Something from the Spirit of God that is unique for me, a unique calling, one that's different than yours. Mine happens to be pastoring, teaching. I have this unique kind of gift mix in my life that I am doing my best to try to live out. How about you? Do you know what your gift is? Do you know what grace is on your life? That prophetic assignment that we read about, not just here, but in many places through the New Testament, where there's a unique thing that is just for you. See, I believe that as we live faithfully committed to build our lives on Jesus, that he is going to allow us to keep building and to build out that second floor and learn, discover, see, and get released in that prophetic assignment that he has for us. And the cool thing is that all of this is designed that we would bear much fruit. Because he has created us, designed our lives to maximize this fruitfulness. Now, while it seems obvious that the ground floor of our lives would be built first, not everybody goes about doing it that way. But I'll tell you what, and what I've seen over a lifetime is that those who try to rush in to their prophetic assignment before building that rock solid ground level of faithfulness in Jesus, what ends up happening is that their life cannot support the weight of their prophetic calling. And their house collapses under the weight of their prophetic assignment. That unique calling that's on their life is great. It's big. It has to be big because you've been created to bear much fruit. Fruit weighs something. Fruit is not weightless. And when you get much fruit up here, crates and crates of apples or, I don't know, kiwis or whatever kind of fruit you're into, mangoes. And there's just tons of fruit up here that God is saying, no, this is all for you. I've given you all this. I've created you this way to bear much fruit. Fruit is not weightless. And if we do not have that ground floor that can bear the weight, persevering in our life and our doctrine, so that we would save ourselves and those around us, something else entirely different happens, and that is that there is a collapse. And we don't need to name names. We don't need to point fingers. We don't need to say, well, I remember this and that about so-and-so. Because, listen, our church has been around almost 90 years. San Maria Foursquare has seen its share of stories that would represent great people, called of God with a destiny on their lives. But there was cracks in the foundation. Right? I don't even have to point fingers at our church. I just point to my own life and say where something went untended and I lost opportunity to maximize that fruitfulness that God had intended. We have to learn to persevere. We have to learn to build this destiny. Because it doesn't automatically happen. Just because it's my destiny does not mean that I'm going to walk out that maximized fruitfulness that God has intended. I have to build it from the ground up. I want to close with this one other scripture that I'm thinking that some of you have already thought of. And it's the words of Jesus. And in chapter 6 of Luke's gospel, he records this. And Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Now, you just stop right there and just preach a whole message on that. Now, nobody in the Santa Maria Foursquare Church would ever call Jesus Lord and then not do what he say, right? I mean, nobody here ever walks in disobedience to God, do we? Okay. Not today. Not in this moment, Jesus. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man doing what? Building a house. People that hear and do. People that not only are saying, God, I want to know your will. I want to discover this destiny that you have for me. But God, I am willing to pick up a hammer, a saw, some nails, tape measure. Let's do it right. Let's get out the level. And God, I'm willing to do the hard work of building and putting into practice what you're showing me. I'm going to show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house. And here's what I love, who dug down deep. Dug down deep. I hate digging. I hate digging. I'm not a good digger. And I've been around people who are really good diggers, and it is so frustrating. Have you ever been around people who just like, you just turn around and there's like this hole? It's like, oh man, I'm like jumping on both feet, you know, with both feet on the edge of the spade. Like it's going, you know, I'm hitting rocks. The soil is always tough where I put the shovel in. I'm just not a good digger. And my mom had me do enough weeding when I was growing up that I should know how to be a good digger. I'm not. And it's frustrating when I'm around people who can just whoop, like knock out a whole trench. And I'm just like, they're trying to get the spade in the ground. Digging down deep is hard work. You don't dig a deep hole accidentally. You don't dig a deep hole without breaking a sweat, without taking time to get down into the muck and the mire and work to getting that soil out of the ground. And guess what? God does not give anybody their own pre-dug hole. That's what I see here. That we got to do it. It's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. Guess what? That's right here. That's the foundation of Jesus, who built their foundation on the rock. It goes on and says, when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. Those are the bumps, the bruises, the brokenness that we all face in life. Torrents come, storms come. Jesus said it would be like this. He didn't say that it's always going to be like weather here in Santa Maria. You know, like 70 degrees year round, little puffy white clouds. No, torrents come against that house, but it was well built because someone had done the hard work in their building, digging down deep and laying a foundation on rock. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who didn't want to go through that work, did not want to dig down deep to get to bedrock. So what did they do? They built a house on the ground. In another gospel, talks about on the sand, the sandy soil. Not a good place to put a foundation. But they just built their house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. If we are going to live out the destiny that He has for us, that God has for you and for me, a fruitful, a very fruitful destiny, we are going to be people who are going to be willing to put on the tool belt, to pick up that shovel and say, God, I'm willing to get to work to build a destiny, the very one that you have created for me, the life that you have designed for me, so that I could experience that kind of fruitfulness in my life. Because I don't want to live a barren life. The bumps, the bruises and brokenness, that'll come. But I know that I'm going to be able to stand firm in you. What I don't want to be is barren. I want to be someone who, in the trail of my life, the wake that I am casting is going to be fruit. That people's lives are going to be blessed when they're around me. That my children are going to have a different kind of a heritage than a heritage of a barren dad. I want to bear much fruit in my life. How about you? For us to have that fruitful life, we're going to need to walk in alignment with the design that God has for us, being a hearer and doer of His word. I find it fascinating because I believe also that not only do you and I have individual destinies, I believe it's the same for the life of a church. I believe that God has called every church to have a unique kingdom contribution, but that's like the second floor. If our church is not built on the bedrock of Jesus, if we are not willing as a church, as leaders, as people who say, this is my church home, if we're not willing to pick up the shovel and dig down deep and say, no, we're going to be that faithful presence of God in our community and to one another. I think it kind of starts here. It starts in our home. It starts in our church home. But our church will never be able to be fruitful the way we were called to be fruitful. Our unique kingdom contribution as a church, if we do not build the very same way, because I think as a church, we have a destiny. We have a destiny, but we've got to be willing to roll up our sleeves. That's why I always roll up my sleeves when I'm up here, right? And say, God, I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to build according to your design. Two stories, not one.